Good morning. You're listening to FloorDaily.net, and I'm Kemp Haar. This morning, my guest is Dan Hendricks, who's president and CEO of Interface. How you doing, Dan?
Good.
So, Dan, it's kind of a sad day that we talked today. I guess most people know now that yesterday evening, Ray Anderson passed away, a tremendous pioneer, a legend, entrepreneur, global steward. I thought it would be good to talk a little bit about him. I know you've worked with him for quite a long time. Ray did pass away yesterday from liver cancer. He'd been fighting this cancer for a couple of years. Let's talk a little bit about the beginning of Ray's career. I know he went to Georgia Tech. He was an honor student, industrial engineer, ended up working for Callaway, and then eventually ended up working for Milliken. And when he was with Milliken, I think Roger Milliken saw an opportunity with potential, what was going on in Europe with modular carpet. He sent him over there to take a look and explore what Huga and a couple other companies was doing over there, and came back and said, yeah, Roger, this is probably something we should do, and I don't think Milliken was ready to do it yet. And I guess ultimately decided that, well, I'll start my own company and we'll make it. And that's, is that the kind of the way you've seen the history on that?
Yeah, it's a little different than that, but you got most of it right. Ray went over to analyze two kind of technologies. One was a French technology called Delatex.
Okay.
And the other technology was Debron. It was manufactured by Carpus International. Mm-hmm. And it was a fusion-bonded technology. And Ray had recommended that they go with the Debron technology with Carpus International.
Yeah.
And I believe that Tom Malone and Roger Milliken made a decision to go with the French technology, which was the Delatex technology. And so Ray decided to pioneer on his own and start up a carpet tile business using the Debron technology. That's how Interface got started, was birthed out of that trip to Europe.
Okay.
And Carpus International became a 50% owner in Interface. So you had an American group that put the money together along with a publicly traded London Stock Exchange company called Carpus International.
Yeah, and that was in 1973. And as Ray was ramping that up, I think he got one or two orders that just, he struggled with. He had to mortgage his home. I mean, you're talking about an entrepreneurial spirit and just throwing everything into it. I've heard some of the early stories of trying to make those first orders, and he just threw it all in, didn't he?
He did. He tells a story that he looked up after 8 months and over half his capital was gone, expensed,
yeah,
building this plant.
Mm-hmm.
And he realized, and he didn't have an order on the books, and he realized that he had to personally go out and sell this concept of carpet tile and not rely on other people to sell it. We were trying to sell it through dealers and distributors. So he got on the road and started selling carpet tile, and as he used to say, the order's your next heartbeat.
Yeah.
So we always around here talk about the next order is your next heartbeat.
Yeah.
And we're always thinking about the customer at Interface.
And look at it today. Interface is a global company, does over $1 billion, has a number one market share in the modular carpet business, which, by the way, modular carpet is the fastest growing category in the flooring industry. What he had the vision to start, it has ended up being very successful.
It did. In fact, when you go back after 10 years, the startup was in 1973, and Interface went public,
mm-hmm,
in 1983 with the intent to monetize the investment for the Carpus International company in the UK. And his vision at that time, I was at the drafting sessions with the New York bankers, and his vision was that the whole world needed carpet tile. The reason for the proceeds to go public was to internationalize Interface and pretty much manufacture all over the world and have sales organizations all over the world. And believe it or not, he was talking about being a billion-dollar company in 1983, and we were about $52 million in sales,
mm-hmm,
in 1982 when we closed that year. So he was quite a visionary.
He was.
For sure.
He was. Just to move forward a little bit further, in 1994, he ended up reading Paul Hawkins' book, The Ecology of Commerce, and had somewhat of an awakening, I guess, and decided that, as he writes in his own book, he was afraid that people like him, radical industrialists is what he called himself, could possibly have been put in jail for some of their practices. And he decided to take a look at the whole carbon footprint. He became a global steward. He started to realize, as Paul kind of revealed to him, that this spaceship Earth that we're on, we've got to manage our resources. Here he is, already a famous pioneer, the starter of this company, which we've said turned out to be so successful. And then he becomes the not only for the flooring industry, but for the industrial America, become somewhat of a spokesman for the way manufacturers should look at themselves.
Yes, yes, he has. It's an amazing story. He had his epiphany in 1994. He likes to refer to it as the spear in the chest. Mm-hmm. And he basically came to interface our people and recruited us one by one, saying we need to get off of oil. Mm-hmm. We need to not have a negative impact on Earth. And eventually that became Mission Zero by 2020. And we've been marching down that path since 1994. And we've changed the carpet industry. If you talk to our competitors, I would say that it's a sad day for them as well to lose such a leader as Ray and a visionary as Ray.
Right.
We, through Ray's vision, forced the whole industry to look at their footprint and to look at what they do with carpet and avoid putting in landfill and using less water, using green energy and so forth. So he was a pioneer, and we've influenced a lot of companies along the way to be restorative and pretty much have a sustainable business practice as you go forward. Interface is committed to it. That's in our DNA. If anything, we're going to run faster up this mountain, sustainability, to realize Ray's vision, and then we're going to create what Interface is beyond 2020.
Yeah. Was there a time when you tried to pull him aside when he drew that little pyramid and said, right up here is going to be Mission Zero, we're going to get there by 2020? Did anybody pull him aside and say, hey, Ray, this stuff is made of oil. How are we going to do that?
Right. I would say that I was one of the biggest skeptics, being the CFO of Interface. I was a CFO for 18 years before I became the CEO.
Right.
And one of the things that I ask Ray is, does it make any sense to get off oil, right? 80% of our raw material inputs are basically oil, petroleum. And how do we get off of oil? We didn't really have an idea how to do that. It was just a vision that Ray had. And we started pretty simply, and that's how Ray is. He's an engineer by training. First of all, let's eliminate our waste. Mm-hmm. Then let's talk about closed-loop recycling and recycle the oil instead of putting it in the landfill. And let's eliminate our toxic emissions. And before you knew it, we had created the seven fronts of sustainability, and we started having success on it. And we took one step forward and sometimes one step backwards, but we started going up this mountain around sustainability, and one by one we got some converts. And eventually we had a lot more success around David Oakey introducing some products that had less material in them. That was one of the theories, was, you know, use less materials.
Mm-hmm.
So we reduced the face weights. And,
right,
you know, once you start having success, success breeds success, and a lot of people got behind it. So I would say, yeah, I was one of the biggest skeptics until I saw the power of sustainability in the business model and said, you know, really, when you get into the 21st century, if you're not sustainable, you're probably not going to be a company that survives. And that was his vision back in the mid-90s. And it's an amazing vision that he had, and it's held true as that was the right vision.
Dan, at a time like this, when we almost need to eulogize Ray for a minute, talk about, I don't know how many years you've spent sharing the leadership role with him. Talk about his personality and the way he led.
Oh, well, Ray was very singular. I have not met anybody like him in business. I mean, you said it starting off this conversation. He was a true visionary. He was an entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
And he really had bold thoughts. And he was incredibly tenacious. Ray would not take no for an answer. If we were going to try and tell Ray no as a management team, he would push us to figure out the right answer to that and not accept no. And you just think about it. You know, why did a guy from a small town in Georgia, you know, he grew up in West Point, Georgia,
mm-hmm,
think that he could build this company that would change the world? And that's how Ray felt, that we could show the world a better way. And he was very, very audacious in his bold visioning about where he thought we ought to go and how we should change the world. And that's how he led, and that's how he lived his life. And he was a true statesman and a true gentleman.
Yeah, and he stayed humble. I mean, toward the end, he got a lot of recognition and was asked to do a lot of TV shows, and he's got 12 or so honorary doctorates, and he stayed humble throughout all that, didn't he?
He did. He did. He was a pleasure to work with, and he always put people and he put the company ahead of himself, always. He was a servant leader.
All right, Dan. Well, I appreciate you spending time with us. Again, we've been talking about Ray Anderson, who passed away yesterday from liver cancer at the age of 77, and we've been talking to Dan Hendricks, who is president and CEO of Interface Incorporated, and you've been listening to Kemp Haar and FloorDaily.net.